title again?
Anda de lo lili ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Hey, check, check, check. We're rolling. Sorry, I'm a little out of breath. I shouldn't be, but I'm just, that's the kind of shape I'm in these days. The slightest walk or, you know, bit of exercise and I'm panting. Even my son today when I drove him to school. Dad, slow down, Jesus. Excuse me. I just finished a big lunch of chili and rice. Very, very good. At a little place here on Queen Street. I'm in an area called Corktown. I believe this will be the first time I will have podcast from this area. I love it. It's Queen Street East. Now, there was a mistake. I was supposed to be at Aroma Cafe Queen Street West. I just typed in 535 Queen East, parked the car outside where I am right now. St. Paul's Roman Catholic Basilica. Beautiful, huge old building. Oh, gorgeous. I've probably driven by here a number of times, but never really stopped at it. I've taken a few pictures. Anyway, I parked the car here, walked down 535, and that's just some office. And then just fortunately, I got to the corner of it's Queen and River, saw Tim Hortons, and texted the person I was supposed to meet, said, look, I'm really sorry, but there's no Aroma Cafe shop here at 535 Queen East. And then, of course, Googled it and saw, oh, but there is one on Queen West. She said, no problem. I'll be out there. And so this was Yvonne. Now, not that many of my listeners will remember Yvonne, but if you were at Pod Camp in Toronto, I wouldn't be able to tell you what year, but years ago, or at some of the earlier PABs when they were still in Kingston, you would have met Yvonne. Very interesting lady. And I sought her out. It's kind of a weird thing. I had gone through, I guess, old Dixon Janes or something and came across me. I was looking at comments somewhere. I don't know. And she had written something really, really nice and it touched me. And I thought, wow, that was so nice because I had welcomed her. She was a stranger. She was new to this. Didn't know if it was her tribe. And apparently I had been very welcoming and receptive and friendly. And she liked that and made me feel really good. And it had been a long time since I had communicated with her. And I know she's a spiritual person. And I kind of wanted to be around somebody with those qualities, tuned in, and a very intelligent woman, very interesting woman with a world of experience in various arts and sciences and therapies, I guess. So I'll park that for a while. Anyway, that's the person I went to meet, and we had just a wonderful talk, just catching up, and with the feeling that we are the elders in this podcasting community, maybe not restricted to the podcasting community. We are simply elders as we move on, but we've achieved some wisdom, some knowledge over the years, you'd hope. She certainly has, and I think, you know, I won't play games here. I think I have too. It's just sometimes I find it difficult to share this knowledge. I don't quite know how to express it. Anyway, wonderful talk. It's just what I needed. It felt really good, and it was also just fun being in an area, a part of town that I don't normally visit, you know. And so it was a great drive here along Eglinton, O'Connor, bypass St. Clair, down Danforth, down Broadview, and then finally on to Queen, which is where we are now. So I'm excited of just doing something different on this Wednesday, November, 4th, 5th? I don't know, somewhere around there. Must be the 5th, 6th. Just nice to be in a different environment, and I wanted to share that with you. It's the 5th today, 2014. To say what? Well, to say welcome to Dixon Jane's podcast number 483. Holy moly. I did talk. We got caught up with just the basics in each other's lives. And it turns out she has a son very close in age to my two sons. So we had that in common, and we discussed their view of the world, which was interesting. And then talked philosophy, talked spirituality, talked therapy, talked consciousness, talked the world, talked about being, I got caught up in how I can't seem to escape the evil that men do. You know, this business of being nervous when I go to the dentist, but also just what I see on the news every night and the horrors. I don't know if I mentioned last podcast, but watching Gotham, which I think is really well done. It's very interesting, this dark view of the history, but of the world. But there was a scene where penguin slowly stabs and twists a knife into a man's stomach while he's being held there. And you don't quite see it, but you see his face and you see the man breathing in pain. All that's missing is the blood gushing out of his bowels and so on. It was horrific, and it was a horrible thing for any child to have seen during prime time. And children, of course, you'd want to see the show Gotham. Wow, it's Batman. That's the backstory of Batman. It was horrific. And this got onto like the bigger picture of how the big companies, the pharmaceutical companies, control the world, and the corporations, you know, not just the pharmacons, but the corporations, and how it's like the feudal ages, you know, or the Romans. Just give them bread and circuses and they'll stay quiet and be amused. And so we're both very much in agreement of our worldviews. You know, there's a synchronization, which was wonderful to share that with somebody without having to explain. You're just, as one talks, the other one listens, and then you switch, and you're both in the same groove. You're both understanding each other. And that was quite wonderful. So I guess that's all I really have to say about that for now. Then I took a little walk along, and I found what was called the Riverside Deli, and it was just a little, tiny little hole-in-the-wall restaurant, takeout, eat-in, a few tables, run by a couple of East Indian gentlemen. And I had, for $5.95 with tax, chili and rice. And it was really good. And they served that out of like a tinfoil plate, you know, that you'd get a takeout meal in. Just, boom, loaded up. It was a full meal. And it was just wonderful. And then I thought, well, now I want to talk to you guys. I want to talk to my podcast listeners. So I came to the Basilica hoping there'd be a bench or a place where I could sit, but it was a bit too windy on the steps. So here I am in the front seat of my car facing Annie's Bar and Grill. And this is, we're right near Parliament Street. So if you know Toronto, you know this is a pretty seedy area, would be one way to put it. It's rough. You've got a Good Hope or a Good Shepherd place down the road where people can stay or get free meals and clothing and stuff. And it's where this is like East Hastings in Vancouver, very much along those lines. But interesting and full of character. And you've got all kinds of little businesses springing up because you can imagine the rents are a little cheaper. I'm looking at a lot of old rundown buildings and a few bars boarded up and stuff. But it's got character, and that's one thing about Toronto. It sure has a lot of character. So I'm kind of enjoying that. Oh, here's my note. She said three things we need were flexibility, fluidity, and cohesion. And I don't know if I'm in a position to talk about those things or explain them. Probably not. But I was in agreement. Flexibility, I guess, in our bodies and our minds, I suppose. Fluidity, that flowing, and cohesion, sort of this holding together. And I said, I think I may be lacking on the cohesion side of things, because when you listen to this, you hear me firing off in so many different directions so often, just not sure how do the pieces fit together. And I think it's there, but I'm not seeing it. I'm reacting on the surface, and I'm seeing pieces. Okay, the counseling, the teaching, the wanting to write, the podcast, the this, the that, all the pieces, and thinking somehow I have to move them around and create this perfect mosaic where everything fits just nicely where it belongs. And it may not work that way at all. And I'm trying to apply some sort of a pattern that isn't necessary. You know, I'm trying to make something that, because of whatever force or thing that I'm giving into, it's just not required. I just have to be fluid and go along with things. And maybe the cohesion is there already. I don't know. Anyway, that was the kind of the nature of the conversation that we had. And I'm just so glad I did it. I'm so glad I just sort of booked out this day and said, yep, I'm coming downtown just to get out. And that's the one thing I do succeed at. And especially it's easier now that I'm only teaching 2 days a week. It's very hard for you poor people who are working full time. But then, hey, you're not 66 years old. You know, you got to earn your money and your security. And I'm sort of at the point now where I can coast just a little. And I got to tell you, on a day like this, it's quite wonderful. I think I've said enough. I think I should stop there. Otherwise, I don't know where I'm going to get to. And I don't know that I've said anything of substance. But at the same time, it probably doesn't matter. I was reassured. I did talk to her a lot about PodCamp Toronto and the fact that I'm thinking I want to do a presentation. And the more I vocalize it, I say it on this podcast and talk about it in person, the more I feel it would be a real cop-out if I don't make an effort to get up there and say something. I think I'm a little bit nervous, not sure what message I'm going to deliver. I know where I want to get to. I know, in essence, the message I want to give, but I'm just not sure at all how to deliver it. And sometimes you get up there and you get start maybe stumbling over your words, or you become a little self-conscious and you're driving too hard and whereas in this podcast, I can just sort of flow and let it go and not worry. Sometimes when you're in a room standing up there being recorded or holding a microphone and you've got an audience, a live audience listening, there's an added pressure because you want to please them. You want to impress them. You want to say the right thing. You want to pull it off. You want to walk out there with your A grade. You know, you want to do it really well. Whereas I don't worry about that much on the Dixon James podcast, except when I go back and listen to the old episodes and realize, hey, you know, for all the beating up you do on yourself, that's really not a bad podcast, that damn Dixon James of yours. So, yeah, I gotta think a little more about that and maybe plan a little more of what it is I want to say and how I'm going to get there. All right. Oh, I did find something else today, again from RealMac, the company I had talked about on the last podcast where I got the Rapid Weaver for doing my website, which is great because I can do more with it. I can play with it. I can improve the one I've got. And I can even take on new projects, perhaps. That's one thing. But the other thing is they have a new kind of a writing program. I think it's called Typer or Typed. And I don't need it. I've got, you know, I've got Microsoft Word and I've got my Apple program, whatever it is, you know, your word processing programs. I used to have Right Now 2.2. I used to have Bank Street Writer. Holy moly, that's when you had the real big floppy disk that you stuck into your Apple IIe. So I've gone through a whole series of these things. Yes, I actually even moved up to Right Now 3. There was so much more software, so many more companies in the old days, and it was all so exciting, man, especially being in Japan and ordering this stuff from the States, you know, mail order, going through and saying, oh yeah, wow, I can get that. We're talking, you know, 1984 here, folks, 1985. That's a long time ago in computer years. And the thrill of having this stuff and learning how to use it. Man, oh man, that was fun. Those are the days when they actually shipped you manuals and the discs and everything else. But anyway, they have a new program and it's even got a Zen mode where maybe inspirational quotations might pop up and there'll be some very nice sounding music, the music of dolphins and whales or something coming in the background. And I can hear the laughter now of people, the Dave Broadbecks of the world. What? And yet, Gosh, that sounds kind of neat to me. Maybe this is one more thing. Maybe I'm looking for excuses. I'm looking for tools to help me with the writing. But at the same time, the fact that I'm just heading in that direction now, and here's a company I love who have given such excellent, you know, service when I've had a problem. They've answered it right away. Why not? Why not get a new program and just say, yeah, let's have fun with this? So stay tuned. Stay tuned. Dixon Jane's, a place where you can waste time and enjoy it. Bye for now.
Who's out there?
It's your son, Daddy.
Where's the baby boy gone to, Daddy?
We want to talk to him.
He's out here.
Look in his room. Jim.
Okay, that's maybe not the best passage. If I had picked the scene between Jim and his mom and dad when he came home and confessed that he had been in the car racing with the guy who drove off the cliff, got stuck in the car and killed himself.
I'm sorry.
That was a very powerful scene. It doesn't matter how many times I've seen this movie, I will watch it again and again. This is one of the few. This West Side Story, of course, I'm talking about James Dean here in Rebel Without a Cause. Just love this movie, and it rings true today. Like, you know, how old is this thing? I love it. Anyway, here you are. Welcome to Dixon Jane's Podcast number 483 on a Friday morning. And yeah, I'm sitting in my pajamas still at 9:30, watching Turner Classic Movies, because that's all I feel like doing today. I'm going to get out. Ooh, I see the signs of maybe some sunshine, so I'm going to get out and talk to you from outside, because it's always different from when I'm talking to you from inside. But I just wanted to get started again. I finish a podcast and you got to start a new one. And it's going to be so weird for me, believe me, when I get to 500 and have to tell myself, no, you can't start one. But you know what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm going to go over and I'm going to start interviewing people on that other podcast, having said that. And that will save me, save my sanity. But anyway, that's getting ahead of ourselves. I got a lot of heavy stuff I want to talk to you about today or whenever on this issue of the Dixon Jane's Podcast. And that's mostly to do with politics. So it might not be fun. It might be a downer. But hey, so what? Okay, that's it.
Let me in?
Yeah, all right. But your house is a mess.
Oh, let's get out of there.
Yeah, I know.
Welcome to the Brickworks. Can't believe I've been in Toronto 20 years and never been here, but I don't think it's been open for 20 years. I don't know how long, but it's quite a scene. Drove my wife into a Remen shop in College in Bathurst today. As a favor for all the wonderful things she does for me, she asked. She was going to drive. It's a wet, rainy Saturday morning. I said, I can do it. No problem. And, of course, she appreciated it, and it was just the smallest of thank yous for all she does for me. Anyway, I kept thinking, okay, now that I'm downtown, totally unplanned trip, why don't I stop somewhere and record something interesting, someplace different? So I stopped in Regent's Park, which anybody from Toronto knows about, was a notoriously kind of rough area, let's say. And they've completely revamped it. They're demolishing old buildings and putting up new ones and trying to build an entirely new community with
home ownership and subsidized housing and all kinds of things that are better than the trap it used to be, I guess. So I stopped there, and it was windy and nasty, and the building I parked in front of was being demolished, and I thought, no, this is not a good place. So saw a sign for the Evergreen Brickworks, and I've heard about this forever and ever, and my son came here before it was all yuppified, and it is clearly yuppified. I'm at the farmer's market, and they have stuff from all over. Now, it's for some people, this would be absolute heaven, and I intend to bring my wife here. I think she would enjoy it for all the locally grown fruits and vegetables, especially famous for cheeses of all kinds. And it's pricey, and I use the word yuppified. There's something about it that just sort of makes me a little bit uncomfortable, and it shouldn't, you know. I should be beyond that, but there's something about Toronto and organic. I guess it's that combination that just sort of, it's just not my comfort zone. But putting all that aside, it's neat to wander through. And then, in fact, they actually do have the original brickworks here. This was a huge factory where they made bricks. And they've kept that historically almost like a museum, except you're just looking at some old empty brick kilns. But the whole compound, it's huge. I had no idea it was anything like this. And the idea of a farmer's market is a good idea, and it's great to get people out. And people, I see a lot of children, and so it's a good place for the families in town, not far away. I just zipped off. I was heading up the Don Valley Parkway, saw a sign, take a turn there. And I'm very glad I came here. But it's not the most convenient place to podcast from, as you can tell, as I wander past the stalls and people eating various goods here and there. Let's see if we can find a quieter place so I can talk about what I want to really talk about, which is the state of the world. Boy, oh boy, if I could describe visually all I'm seeing, it's neat. And I'm sure anybody who's from Toronto has been here and has enjoyed this and marveled at the $3 cup of coffees and so on. I think I'll pass on all of that. And let's just exit here and go into the museum part. Which is just, you know, a demonstration of what this was. I guess this was, I don't know how far back it dates. I suppose I could read that to you if you really care. Evergreen Heritage. Graffiti on site. Graffiti. Okay, so the whole place, I guess people came here to put out their graffiti, so we've got a whole lot of plaques on what is graffiti and what are the rules of graffiti. Evergreen and Heritage, it's a legitimate art form down here in the sense that there's a storyline associated with it on how the site has been used. It's an aesthetically fantastic, it contrasts in a really exciting way with the older industrial material. That was the Evergreen CEO. It's a time capsule, it's a time capsule of people who traveled through here. There's a footprint of who was here and what they did. It's a massive public sketchbook. It just seemed like a wonderland for graffiti artists. Now, I know my son was down here, I'm pretty sure, before it was a farmer's market, because he's always been intrigued by old industrial sites, abandoned buildings, and probably graffiti. Graff is like weeds. It is wild, and you can't tame it. I think that it is good for the spirit. All right, so now you've heard all about graffiti. Oh, here's a definition from 1851. Graffiti, for ancient wall inscriptions found in the ruins of Pompeii, from Italian graffiti, plural of graffito, a scribbling, a diminutive formation from graffio, a scratch or scribble, from graffiare, to scribble, ultimately from Greek graffien, to scratch, draw, write. Well, there you go. Didn't know we were going to be talking about graffiti. But the entire place, now that I look, is covered with it. It's kind of neat. Now I'm just wondering, like, there's nobody's selling organic coffee or goat cheese or anything else or special carrot muffins, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just the entire walls and walls of bricks and ovens and pipes and things that, I don't know, things, stuff. And I'm glad I came. It's someplace different. But again, this is not the nature of this podcast. I'm only talking about it because, ooh, God, almost threw up on that burp. Excuse me. God, don't you hate that when you get that, ooh, what's that horrible taste in your mouth? What did I just eat? It was a peanut butter and bacon sandwich, by the way. Didn't taste like it, though. Well, it never does when it comes back 30 minutes later. Change of topic, yep. Okay. Now, what do we got here? We got a Venn... Is it a Venn diagram? You know, the interconnected circles? It is Venn, right? Energy on one, comfort on another, environment on the other, and in the middle you've got active house. Okay, don't like that very much. Let's talk about what it was I wanted to talk about, which is the state of the world. And now, with my back aching, my legs tired, and the time running out on my parking meter, I don't feel like talking about it anymore. So we're going to come back to that. We're going to stop here. This was just a little interlude. Call it what you will. The only good thing is, it was nice that I drove my wife downtown today and dropped her off at the ramen shop so she can meet with a Japanese friend and have a good long conversation. I will pick her up at Kennedy Subway. When she's done for the day at 4 o'clock, Brian is coming to my house, and Brian and I are driving to Barrie and then further on to meet up with Gary of Chubb Creek to go to a 50th birthday party. I have a good friend of Gary's, fellow I follow on Facebook, but I've never met in person in real life. So we're going to be partying all night long. So this is the Saturday that I take off. We'll crash at this house, I hope, packing a sleeping bag, somewhere out in the woods north of Barrie. And whether or not you'll be hearing from me at that time or place, probably better if we don't. But that's what's in store for today. So I got to get back and continue doing nothing really productive. All right. Scarborough Dude signing out from the Brickworks. Bye for now. Yeah, I should add that I did buy the $5 cheese curd, which is actually pretty good. Keep refrigerated. Montfort Dairy, Stratford, Ontario. Okay. And lamb pepperettes. And they are very tasty. For $6 for four of them, that's a good deal. So I take back what I said about being a bit too pricey. I think it is a pretty good deal. This is the Evergreen Farmers Market. At the Evergreen Brickworks. All right, first time here, and I'm thrilled. Hey, Jesus, it's great discovering new places. All right, we're off. Bye. This would not be right if I did not tell you a little more about the Evergreen Brickworks. So I'm going to read for you, to you, from the pamphlet, just to show that I'm also, at times, a responsible, mature podcaster citizen. What is this place? Evergreen Brickworks is a community environmental center that inspires and equips visitors to live, work, and play more sustainably. Next bold heading, a unique site rich in possibility. From 1889 to 1984, Don Valley Brickworks was one of Canada's preeminent brickyards. At its peak, more than 43 million bricks a year are manufactured for use in the construction of homes and buildings across Canada. That's 43 million bricks a year. When the factory closed down in 1984, the site was abandoned, leaving behind a damaged ecosystem, crumbling buildings, and contaminated soil. Restored and revitalized by Evergreen, a national not-for-profit, the site is now home to LEED Platinum Building, LEED Platinum Building, whatever that is, and is a global showcase for green design, urban sustainability, and vibrant public space. Named for one of the world's top 10, named one of the world's top 10 geotourism destinations by National Geographic. Whoa. Open daily and year-round, Evergreen Brickworks engages visitors in a full suite of attractions and events, including our Saturday and Sunday Farmers Market. By the way, that pepperoni, that lamb pepperoni I got, was really good, as are the cheese curds. Nature trails for hiking and cycling, site tours, cooking and gardening workshops, exhibits, conferences, festivals, nature-based camps for youth, and a sustainable garden market and eco-store. Follow us online and give us a call for our latest events, and that would be evergreen.ca. So there you go. I am responsible, if nothing else. Bye for now. That's one little habit I got to break. If I'm in the car and I see it's coming close to the hour, you know, 3:57 or something, or, you know, 1:29, okay, there's going to be a newscast. And I always fish out my recorder and start recording the news and then realize, why am I doing that? You know, occasionally it adds context to the podcast, you know. It's relevant. You can see that recently I've been using them, but a lot of the time, I'm just so conditioned by that. There's the number on the hour, listen to the news. And I don't really want to, but I just have it, you know. So I'm trying to break that. And that's why I'm talking to you now while the news is playing in the background, except I've got the radio turned off, so you can't hear it. I got a new CD beside me, tied into last night's party. Way the hell out in the boondocks. North of Barrie,
Now, I don't know what qualifies as boondocks. This is in the country, and it was actually lovely driving there. Or not so much last night, because it was raining, and it was wet, and it was dark, and you couldn't see anything. But coming out of there today, and then taking that slow drive along Penetanguishene, I think, maybe the road, I don't know, Highway 63, or Route 63, and eventually winding our way into downtown Barrie. And stopping for a wonderful, wonderful breakfast at a place called Sophie's. It's been around for 35 years. A little roadside diner. Exactly what we were looking for. And I swear I had the best breakfast ever there. You know, three fried eggs, over easy, rye toast, sausages split open, and the best home fries ever. Just amazing. And it was just one of those things we just found, you know, going through. Hey, we're hungry. I'm with my buddy Brian. We're coming home from a fantastic young man's 50th birthday party. It was a bash, and it's great because these days nobody ever gets to house parties. Sorry if I was shouting. I'm excited. I think I was still high this morning when I was driving. I think that's why I enjoyed the breakfast so much. And I started to say I picked up a copy. The first stop I made in Scarborough getting home was straight to Deja Vu Discs just off Kennedy in Progress. And picked up a copy of AC/DC Live because our birthday boy put this on his sound system last night. And man, I don't know when the last time was that I heard a sound system like that. Huge speakers and quality sound, and being out in the country and you're not worried about your next door neighbor hubbed right up beside you, that was cranked full. I mean, it's like concert proportions. Holy shit, was it good. And a range of different, you know, artists and music, starting off with Clapton and some others, ending on Rush, I guess, but in the middle, AC/DC. And I realized, to my shock, I've never listened to them. And I'm thinking, how could a band this well-known, I think I just lumped them in with the next generation's music, not my music. I'm sort of Beatles, the Stones, that first British wave. And this stuff, this maybe, the, you know, I used to call it, what, big hair music or whatever. And I'm somehow almost mixing them up with Kiss and these other bands that I never had time for, never bothered. But I watched their performance last night. Holy fuck. This is like the concert video, not just the music, but the concert video. And what an amazing performance. And the musicianship blew me away. And it was like a shock. How could I have lived all this time? And here's a band that's been around forever, and I've never listened to them. And if you had asked me, who's in the band? No, don't know anybody. What? Give me a song that AC/DC has done. I wouldn't have been able to tell you a single song. So here I am with a good starter set of a live album. One that's missing that I would have liked to have heard because I heard on the CD last night was something about Take You to the Top, If You Want to Get to the Top, and Rock and Roll or something to do with that. There was another fantastic one with bagpipes. Man. Oh, it was good. Now, of course, this is coming from a guy who's, you know, smoked a couple of spliffs, drank quite a few beer, nibbled on a Colorado cough drop. So I was, let's say, in the right headspace to be listening to loud music and enjoying a live concert. So today, boom, stopped it, and I was thinking, great, because I was figuring on the Dixon James podcast, I'm going to be, God, I am shouting, I am sorry, I should turn this sensitivity down. I am going to be playing more classical music, because that's all I got. Remember last time I bought 200 fucking hits, classical music? And I thought, well, that's kind of nice in the background, it's a little more mellow, and maybe we'll just take you out with that in the next one. Now I'm thinking, no, you're going to have some AC/DC. Whether you like it or not. But the problem is, I've got the CD in my hand. I can play it right here in the car, but I still haven't got the cords fixed to power up my MacBook. And my son has the only working cable, and he's still in Japan. So I can't. I don't have a CD burner. I don't have a thing you can slide a CD in and rip all the tunes. You know, your new big, huge desktop iMac doesn't have a CD drive.
Fuck, eh? Might have to borrow my son's portable and copy it onto a USB and go that route. Because I got to add this to my collection. Anyway, the party. A group of people, only one of whom I'd ever met before, which was Chub Creek Gary. Right? This is all through Chub Creek Gary. Chub Creek Gary, yes. So we did get into a good conversation about Chub Creek and the old days of podcasting and how me telling him, reminding Gary that, boy, you know, when you get your little bit of history, because now that we're 10 years in, those pioneer days count for something. And when you're doing a little bit of a history of Canadian podcasting, you are going to recall Chub Creek, one of the finest, just an amazing, amazing podcast that was hilarious and fun and exciting, and it was just new and fresh, and man, they had music and comedy, and it was brilliant. It inspired me, and just a little bit of encouragement I had from both Dave and Gary gave me the extra little boost I needed to keep going with Dixon Jane. So grateful for them. So we talked about that, and then there's all kinds of other people, a few people up from the States, the kind. If you had watched, if you know the show Duck Dynasty, you might look around the room and say, oh, I'm here on the set. But we were in, the set was a man cave to beat all man caves. Like, first of all, fabulous, unbelievable beer bottle and beer can collection going back, like, three generations. And there are some classics in there, like some real old timers, and then just the ones you need. And then he said, you got to have an O'Keefe in the set, and you got to have this whole range of them. Well, there was shelves and walls, so there was a great bar set up, and then shelf space for other things, full-size pool table, and then this rockin' TV and sound machine in another corner. And posters and things all over the walls, and boom, that's where we were for the night. Bam, this is it, man. Huge space, lots of room so people could gather in groups, play cards, have a full-time, you know, pool game. Brian did wonders. He just mixed right in there and was up playing cards, playing poker, playing euchre, shooting pool. I tended to sit more at the bar stool and talking to anybody who would listen. But had a hell of a lot of fun and really, really enjoyed it. So it's refreshing when you can do that. Because how often do any of us get to house parties anymore? And the bonus about this, being out in the country, where you know you're going to stay overnight because you're drinking. And that's fine. Big house, plenty of room. Kids are sent away to grandma's for the weekend. And great hosts. And bam. You're here to have fun, and fun we did. So happy about that. I still want to get on a serious talk about civilization, mankind, humanity, the modern world, the horror, all those things. And maybe it's fitting for Remembrance Day. I'll probably put this out on Remembrance Day. It's Saturday now, the 9th, I guess. I don't know. Or 8th, what are we at? And I just got a whole lot more stuff to say. The 9th today, Sunday, the 9th, sorry. Stuff that I'm dealing with, and I talked a bit about it last night when I'm talking to people I've never met before, guys and gals, and such a real range of people whose paths may never cross again, but it didn't matter. We all recognized, hey, we're all good people here, and we're all here to enjoy ourselves, and you got to keep reminding yourself the majority of people on the planet don't want war, don't want hatred, aren't crazy. It's just the loonies who can lead others, and the others who are too stupid and follow their bad leaders who are all fucked up. And so many others just kind of want a nice world. I guess the thing, and I'm not ready to get into it now, I think the part about all this that's problematical is the imbalance of the extreme wealthy and then the others just, you know, on the verge of starvation all the time and no hope for a job and just, you know, people living in ditches And you think, wow, how is it? How can we keep at it? Like, when we're aware, it's not like you're reading a newspaper 3 months old and you hear, you know, the Boer War going on and you think, what can I do about that? Nothing. You're on my farm in Nova Scotia, you know. But now the world is all connected and we can do things and we are aware and we know who has sickness and disease and who could do with some help. And we're very much aware of our privileged place. And that applies especially for people my age, born post-war, and had all the benefits of growth, of no war, no hunger, no, you know, just life just was easy for us. The time we were born in, and I'm talking about the baby boomers mainly, everything going our way. Like, hey, you want a job? Yeah, you can get a job. That's fine. You don't want a job? Yeah, you don't have to have a job. You want to travel? Travel. You want to drop out? Drop out. You want to go to college? Go to college. Do whatever you want. Make chart your own path. And the paths had been beaten down for us. You know, we're not out there with broadswords cutting, hacking through the jungle. There's a path ahead of you. The hippie trail through Europe. Get stoned. Get high. Have fun. Visit museums and art galleries and ancient ruins, man. Trip on some mushrooms in Mexico and enjoy the ride. All these things were possible to us. These are all luxuries, the luxury of being free to choose your life. And so much of the world, as we well know, has no such opportunity. And again, too complicated to go into in this short time and with my limited intellectual capacity, but this imbalance could be our undoing. I guess, okay, here's what it comes down to, and if I'm going to summarize it, and you're saying, come on, get on with the point. The point is, the capitalist model is broken. 25 years ago, today, I believe, 25 years ago, the Berlin Wall smashed down. This is a big anniversary. This is a big deal. Boom. East and West, that wall is broken down, and we're sort of beginning to feel Reagan is triumphing, the fall of communism and so on, and it's certainly changed. And you look at China today, that sure doesn't look like communism under Chairman Mao anymore. You got millionaires and billionaires, holy shit. You got Shanghai with luxury car dealers and Maseratis and Lamborghinis and Ferraris, holy shit. This is communist China, are you serious? So the world is changing, and I guess you'd say, in a way, capitalism won out. But it's broken. It's out of whack. It's spun out wild. And you've got these CEOs with ridiculous money, and you have these bankers who cheat and steal and lie and all the things that happen, and all the rich and all the lawyers and all the powerful are holding on to everything. And by one means or another, and the rest are just sort of struggling. And so the overall role of the middle class and the average Joe worker is getting a little tougher. People are putting in longer hours, and people are caught up. And some of it is our fault. We're buying into this consumer machine. We are feeding the machine. We are falling for all the crap and lies and putting up with it and not being out in the streets or outside offices demanding change. But I guess one of the conversations I did have last night with one of the mothers was hope for the younger generation, those in their 20s. Man, where was this conversation? I don't even know if it was last night, but no, it wasn't. It was with my good friend Yvonne, of course, the day before. That younger people are seeing through the bullshit, and they will bring about changes, and they will start or enter or create a new world. And it is going to change. And it's just, she talked about, you know, the 100th monkey. You just need that one extra piece that, like, it's all sort of moving in that direction. And when it reaches this critical mass of enough people saying, fuck, this is all broken and fucked up and something is totally wrong with our values, there may be change. Now, one more thing, and I I don't know that it's related or not, but and maybe I even already talked about it, the violence on TV, which to me is just a representation of the sickness of the culture. And it does reinforce the idea of, well, keep people in fear, because subconsciously, when you see somebody on Gotham, which I mentioned, or what's that Wild West one, building the train across the country, when you see the degree of brutal, gruesome, gory, painful violence, like the slowly twisted knife into the gut the little children are seeing, it's going to hurt, it's going to do something to your psyche and to your soul. And maybe that's what they, and I'm putting they in these air quotes, the big powers that be in charge of these huge corporations, all the people that stand to gain from having a public that doesn't question authority, that doesn't fight back, that lives in a little bit of fear, and whatever our government has to do to protect us, we'll go along, or the other extreme, whatever I have to do to protect myself from that government, and that means arming myself heavily, I'll do that too. And so there's nothing, well, there's lots of things out there, but the general picture is we're creating, and we have created, a race of zombies, a race of people who just do follow because, man, that's the safest place to be. And part of me feels very hypocritical saying that because, hey, I'm in a nice house and I got nice cars and I got all the stuff I want. I'm not about to make any changes. I'm not about to give anything up. I like where I am. And how could I question anybody else not wanting the things I have? So I don't know. Listen, if you're new to the Dixon Chains podcast, you know that this is not a scripted show. I just sort of turn on the mic and start talking, and sometimes it all adds up and makes a little sense, and other times it may appear, like this last rant, to be all the fuck over the place. But it's just the voice of a man concerned, knowing that something's wrong with the society in which I live, with our values, with our system, and I can't change it, and I don't know what needs to be done, and I don't even know which is necessarily the better way. But I would really like to live with the hope of greater enlightenment, of people sort of really thinking, of people making positive changes, of good people getting the levers, getting their hands on the levers that can bring about change. And I guess part of it is just because we did grow up back in those 60s with this, maybe this illusion of hope, but it really was a belief that, wow, yeah, the world could be a better place. This age of Aquarius, this peace, love, man, this is all where it's at. This is for real. That was for real. And it just seemed as if, man, the forces just had to put an end to that little freaky era, that little window that was open to let the sunshine in, that no, whoa, we can't have free-thinking people, we can't have people doing drugs and roaming the streets and thinking for themselves, this is dangerous. All right, I know some of you are already saying, oh, fuck you, man, shut the fuck up, I've heard all that before and it's all bullshit anyway, and you're so fucking full of yourself, you don't know your ACs from your DCs. Anyway, enjoy whatever it is I continue to throw your way, and if there's any new listeners out there, my apologies if I told you to look this up. I did give one young lady my card last night, and I really tried to get it back, and she said no, and I guess, you know, the best thing that will happen was this person will have a listen and say, well, that's a pile of shit. That's pretty boring. And that'll be end of that. And I will not be turned into the authorities. Because I guess that was the last line of thought that I wanted to follow up on is this whole question of how we have begun to live in fear. And we do know we are giving our government's powers to listen in on us, to follow us, so that they can find the bad guys and catch them before they do any more damage, like any more shootings or blowing up buildings or whatever, or, heaven forbid, letting loose chemical poisons and bringing down the power supply, whatever, you know, the possibilities are limitless. So we sort of, in these times of fear, and especially with the support and the help, and maybe the American government twisting our wrist to say, hey, you are going to spy on your citizens, and we're going to help you, and we're even going to tell you who to listen to. That's a thought that entered my mind today. And, of course, nothing really happens on the Dixon James podcast other than an old man rambling. But still, it's not too much of a stretch to think that other times, other countries, things are getting a little worse, continuing to move on in this direction. I'll never say anything that's going to change anybody's way of thinking, but some people might, and some people could be shut down, arrested, for speaking out, for speaking their mind. And we have to, that's the whole thing of what Remembrance Day was about, or so is said, fighting to preserve our freedoms, and therefore the freedom to speak your mind in any way you choose is very, very important. And there's an awful lot of knee-jerk conformity and people afraid to speak up, or people in support of this sanction or that plan. And people have to be educated and think for themselves. All right, damn it. I just keep doing what I keep telling you I'm going to stop doing, and that's more of the same. So this time we will stop. 22 minutes, 40 seconds. Holy fuck, I am sorry. Scarborough Dude, signing out, and peace be with you. Bye for now. Thank you.